This is CBS Eye on the World. Hotel Mars, Episode N. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague and co-host and co-pilot David Livingston, Dr. Space of The Space Show. We're getting in a time machine and going back to 1968, when David and I were younger men. Ice Station Zebra, directed by John Sturges, highly recommended to the younger people who do not know Rock Hudson, Patrick McGoohan, Ernest Borgnine, Jim Brown. It's based on a novel by Alistair MacLean. These are all sensational names from the 1960s, now lost in the fog of Hollywood time. But Ice Station Zebra was also famous toward the end of his life because the very famous Howard Hawk, a millionaire developer of aircraft, lay dying in a hospital bed in the Caribbean, watching the movie again and again. This is before video, before Netflix, before iPhones. You watched it on a screen. It was a movie that was on a reel, and it wound and unwound again and again. That's the legend of Howard Hughes. However, we turn to the plot itself. The idea was there was a spy satellite, and it was taking photographs of critical hardware, either Soviet or American. I can't remember, but I believe it was Soviet. Soviet Union was a predator state challenging the U.S. for conquest of the world. It was very important to recover that canister of film that was dropped from a satellite and had fallen in the Arctic. And so Rock Hudson, the commander of the submarine, was tasked to get as fast as he could to the Arctic through under the ice and come up and recover those photos. There is a plot, there are twists, there's lots of excitement. It's an exciting movie. However, it also illustrates something that remains with us. Though the Soviet Union is gone, Rock Hudson's gone, Howard Hughes is gone, what remains with us is Earth Observation Satellite. That's polite for spy satellite. And I welcome Anatoly Zak of Russian Space Web, who, in addition to very carefully covering the Roscosmos program now, does historical documents very well, so I can go back in time for what I could not have known then. The Roscosmos was part of the Soviet Union's strength, and taking photographs from space was a way of updating all of your information for the coming war. And we all believed in 1968 war was imminent. Anatoly, congratulations for taking me back in time. But I want to start in the present, because the Russians are restless like everyone else about observing their adversaries and also tracking the changes of the Earth during these days of climate change. And you introduce us to modern times now, and the unlaunched system Pixel VR, an Earth observation satellite, polite name spy satellite. What is it? Where is the development of it? What is the new technology in it? Good evening to you, Anatoly.
Hello, John, David. Yes, so Pixel VR program is quite interesting. So this is one satellite which is developed at NPO Lavochkin, which is a company, a very famous company going back to the 20s and 30s aerospace development contractor. And they developed many military satellites and also planetary and science missions for the Soviet Union and then for post-Soviet Russia. And now they are kind of delegated one of the primary tasks within the Russian space industry to miniaturize the satellite technology. So it's small enough and light enough to be launched very often and in large numbers. So it needs to be mass produced, and it needs to be deployed very quickly in large numbers in order to provide essentially global coverage of the Earth's surface in high resolution. Meaning photography in high resolution. But one important element which those smaller satellites can provide is frequency. It's besides, you need not only the level of details, but you need to return to the area which you already photographed very often. Because for military for military and for in general for any kind of confrontation or any kind of situational awareness situation, you need frequency. So what they're trying to build for the first time is to build not just one or two or even five satellites, but actually a huge constellation, which would be over all points of the Earth, and they could revisit, so they call it revisit, every point on Earth very frequently, for example, twice a day. That's one of the goals. So in order to do this, your satellites need to be small enough, light enough, and produced often enough to be launched in large numbers. And that's what they're trying to do. And the main obstacle in this process is electronics. You need a lot of very reliable electronics, which would operate in vacuum, in radiation environment, essentially be space rated. You cannot use usual electronics, which you use even in airplanes or even in rockets. You really need sort of radiation hardened electronics. And you need the very sophisticated optical equipment, which would allow to process these images and beam them back to Earth. Of course, you cannot use capsules. You cannot use any kind of slow moving devices. You really need to transmit the images quickly in large numbers through the special computer systems. So this is one of the programs which Roscosmos and the Russian military are pursuing, trying to make the satellites smaller and trying to make them higher resolution. So the Pixel VR is one of those projects.
David, you have a question for Anatoly.
You mentioned electronics being a problem. What do they make their own electronics? Where do they come from, and why is it a problem?
So yes, and this is very interesting and very long question to answer, because the kind of, if we go into the history of the Soviet Union, Soviet Union was very late with development of electronics. Very often, during even Stalin period, during 50s, this kind of idea of computers, an idea of kind of which gave rise to electronics industry, was considered almost criminal or almost kind of like a fake science by the Soviet leadership. A lot of scientists who were at the roots of this industry were imprisoned and killed. And as a result, Soviet Union arrived into the space age with very backward electronics industry. And when they started being needed, this electronics which they needed for spacecraft, they started kind of a makeshift industry, which they tried to compensate for lack of advanced electronics during the 50s and 40s. And what happened is Soviet Union lagged behind in this type of technology, and they did develop some computers and some electronic system. Problem was they were heavier and less reliable. They could not operate very often in a vacuum of space. So satellites had to carry special pressurized containers with a thermal control, climate control systems, where they would really condition those electronics to operate in space. And that, obviously, as you might imagine, would make Soviet satellites very heavy, very bulky, and very unreliable. They would live in space much shorter than, for example, American satellites and later European, Japanese, and all other satellites.
This is Resource P, is that correct? We're talking about Resource P, the earlier series.
Yes, exactly. So, they were advancing over the 60s and over the 70s. They worked very hard trying to compensate for this problem. They're trying to develop their own industry, which would do this type of work, would provide this kind of computers, electronics, components, and all of this. And there was a famous joke in the Soviet Union that once in the early 70s, CEO of Sony, I think Sony came to the Soviet Union from Japan, and one of the leaders of the Soviet industry asked, so after you saw all the factories in the Soviet Union, what do you think about Soviet electronics? How far we are behind right now? Because they knew they are behind. And according to this story, he said, you are behind forever. So essentially, this is exactly what what Russia is facing right now. They're trying to develop electronics industry. After the post-Soviet era, there was a big decline and there was a very little funding for the military, and they fell behind even more. So now they, when the military budget started growing in the 2000s and 2010s, they facing the same issue that they cannot produce electronics reliable enough. They cannot produce enough of them to fit into the satellites, and that's why many of their military satellites are sitting on the ground. And some of the projects either cannot be implemented, or when they're implemented, they're much heavier than their Western counterparts. So that Pixel VR program, and before that, there was a Resource P program, which used the Soviet architecture, Soviet-era architecture of the satellite, heavy, big, 6-ton satellite, trying to achieve this electronic imagery from Earth, to deliver imagery without returning capsules, without returning film. So they're going through this process for a number of years, and the problem still remains.
We're speaking with Anatoly Zak. He keeps the Russian Space Web, a subscription site I heartily recommend. It is not only the present-day Roscosmos, it's the past Roscosmos. This is the most famous and successful big space program in history. Put the first satellite into orbit, put the first man, first woman, first dog. All of that was in the 20th century. We're talking about the 21st. And Anatoly's just referred to Resource P, an earlier Earth observation satellite, also called a remote sensing satellite, also called a spy satellite. David Livingston, Dr. Space, is with me. And when we come back, what's in orbit right now? What do they need to replace? And what was before Resource P, dating back to 1968 in Rock Hudson's thriller, High Station Zebra?
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.